Several months ago, I was sitting up here getting ready for the service, and I looked, and there was Pastor Gary and Sandy Stefanski walked in here. And wow, what a great delight to see them. We usually see them once a year at Keswick, right, during the pastor's conference. So they moved out here from North Jersey. It's been a joy to spend some time with them. When they're not here, Pastor Gary's preaching up at the UCC church up in Dover, which is amazing, a church that had abandoned the gospel years ago. He's up there preaching from the Word of God. So I'm just so thrilled that he's agreed to come and preach this morning. I didn't know when we'd get back or not, so we had a great trip down to South Carolina. So he's going to give you a little bit of his bio. Give him a warm York Bible Church welcome.
Thank you, Pastor David. Pastor David and I have been colleagues for many years through... We were at college at the same time. I'm getting a little feedback. Only I was ahead of him because I'm older than he is, a little bit, I think. And then after Bible school, I pastored four churches. I was trying to think when I was sitting there. Four churches, right, dear? Something like that. And this last September, I decided. Over the summertime, I wanted to retire from Fairview Gospel Church, where I had been pastoring for 19 years. In fact, if I would have stayed there, I would have been in my 20th year there. And it's my favorite church. I love the people there. Some are probably listening in this morning. I love the people there. It's my favorite church. I just wanted to retire from there. I didn't retire from gospel ministry, but I wanted to retire from the ministry there. Fairview, New Jersey is right on the New Jersey side of Manhattan. We every day could see the Statue of Liberty. Every day we could walk along the Hudson River, and it was a marvelous place to live. You did not have any space like this. This parking lot, we had a tiny little parking lot, and you didn't have any. Our last church was an old church. It was built. Over 175 years, gorgeous, typical old church building, little white church, was at the bottom of the hill. We got a kick out of calling it the little white church at the bottom of the hill, instead of the little white church at the top of the hill, as some songs have it. But anyway, here we are, and we decided to move to York because our son and daughter-in-law and grandson, Colin, have been living in York for more than 25 years since they finished Messiah College, and my son is a recovery room nurse at Hershey Medical Center, and my daughter-in-law is a dietitian, and she edits books and a lot of things I don't understand about like that. And our grandson, Colin, little Colin is now 21 years old, and my son always said, Dad and Mom, you know, if you'd move here, we could have another child. So, well, I said, here we are. And it's not going to work out that way. And then we have a daughter. Our daughter Sarah and her husband live in Savannah, Georgia, which is absolutely paradise, but not if you're from the north. And so Sarah's been living there for more than 10 years, and she has four girls. Madison, who graduated from the University of Georgia last year and now lives in Colorado. And then Laurel, 18. Maddie's 21. Laurel's 18. Cass is 16. And Claire is 6. So we get to go down there as we do like anybody else, when we find cheap tickets, we'll go. And so all of that, so I've been pastoring churches in ministry for more than 50 years. That doesn't mean anything. We just want to hear what God has for us this morning. And so here we are, New Year's Day. I think in 23 years into you remember when it turned from 99 to how am I going to say it? Is it going to be 20? Is it going to be, how do you say it? Well, it's just, you know, 2023. 23 years from that, which for most of us, that just seemed like yesterday when it was, everybody's worried about the world's going to end. The world's never going to end. Jesus is coming at any moment. But anyway, the first day, and The best place to be is in the house of the Lord. I like this verse. Listen. I was glad when they said to me, what? Let us go into the house of the Lord. See? So maybe sometimes you ever want to just, oh, I have so many problems, so much trouble. I'm just going to pull up the cover over my head, and I'm not going anywhere today. But then you get there, and God speaks your heart. You can be glad you are with God's people, and you need to be. And that's why I'm kind of for and against the online stuff. But anyway, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And I still remember, you don't hear about it anymore. The world is in tumbling quickly towards tribulation. That means the Lord Jesus got to come for us. And he's coming any moment. But it's got to be sooner than it was yesterday. And resolutions. Remember when people made New Year's resolutions? What are some resolutions you might make? Oh, it's my first one. You can blame your fat on COVID, right? So, but it's over now. I have no more excuse, you know. So, all right. So, lose weight. All right. What else? Spend. All right, got that down here. Spend less money. Oh, you read my note. All right. And I said to Sandy this morning, you know, I hope we just don't get, there's a lot of stuff you say in church because you're in church, you know, sound holy, but these are not, so that means we're real people. You are real people, but how we express ourselves. All right, so, but I do want to read my Bible more, right? I do want to pray more, and I wrote witness to, you fill in the blank, witness to. You've been wanting to, but you haven't, have you? Talking about churches and witnessing to them about Jesus, all right? Just tell them. You'd be surprised how many people say, if somebody would have told me sooner, I would have been a Christian way before I came now. And then I need to work on my relationship with, right? Paul has some resolution here, and I'm looking at Philippians chapter 3. In chapter 3, he's given the credentials that he didn't count anything, wasn't trusting in. He says in chapter 3, you think you have credentials, and he's speaking to people that were Judaizers, and he says, they said, we are the circumcision, we worship God in spirit, we rejoice in Christ. Verse 4 says, he says, but I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he has confidence in the flesh, I do. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. That means he was 100% pure Jew. His mommy and his daddy took him on the eighth day to the synagogue and performed that rit. And not everybody could say that. I'm pure Jew of the stock of Israel. A button popped off his chest. And he said, of the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Israel's first king. Who's that? Saul. I'm of this tribe of the king, the king's tribe, tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, you talk about being religious. I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I was persecuting the church, which he's going to talk about that. Concerning the righteousness which was by the law, blameless. But the things were gained to me. These have I counted loss for Christ. Yea, I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And not having my own righteousness, because we have none apart from Christ. And then he says, my desire is to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. And verse 12 is where we're starting, really. Not that I have, and this is where he's going to pick up the resolution. Not that I had already perfected. Don't stumble at a word like that. there was a dear brother in the church who always said, "Pastor, I'm not perfect. Pastor, I'm not perfect." Now, you know, he loved the Lord, knew the Lord, and he wanted me to say, "Yeah, you're not perfect." And I said, "Yeah, but I would tell him Jesus is perfect." See, there's a difference. The word "perfect" here has to do with completeness, Christ-likeness. It is God's goal for us that we'll be like the Lord Jesus. Is that true this morning? Well, yes and no. Positionally, we are complete positionally in Christ. We have been sanctified. It's complete. God sees His work all that Christ has done on behalf of us as finished. Even glorified, God sees us that way. But practically, working out, we're not there. And so there is a perfection that is a position, but there's a perfection that is also a matter of me going on and continuing on progress. And that's what I think is a good time when you get these days. I'm going to ask you, are you making progress in your Christ-likeness? Are you making progress in your Christ-likeness? Growing. What did Jesus pray? Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. And then in future, when we go to be with the Lord, when we see Him, we will be like Him. So there we are. We're in a progressive process. God has worked. Remember, we have so many trends in the church, which are good. Remember, everybody wore an armband. I'd have to write it down. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. You remember that? And everybody wore it. Say, I had a lady in church say, "Pastor, please be patient with me. God is not finished." Said, then I thought, you know, I don't want to say the name because people are watching. I said, you know, I knowed you for more than 10 years. And, you know, you keep telling me the same thing. But I'm not seeing any progress. See? How about you? We can't just sit in church and say, "Here I am. Here I am, Jesus. This is it." Because God wants to bring you along into Christ's likeness. And so his resolve here is, he says, "I'm not there. I'm not there." And if Paul wasn't there, we certainly aren't there. And it all's going together. God's putting it all together. Because already in my note here, I wrote myself, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink." It's time for examination. No better time. Day one. 1:23. Time for examination. "Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." And then I always ask God to put His word on my spotlight of His word on my heart. It's because the entrance of God's word gives us light. And so he says, brethren, he says here, "not that I have already attained." That's Paul. I'm not there yet. "I'm not perfect." Perfected. That's complete. "But I press on." I press on. And that's why I entitled this sermon, "Press On" in 23. Pressing on. The context here is a context of a runner in the race. I don't know how many of you are runners. There's got to be some. There's some in every church. My wife started running when she was 53 years old. And I asked her how many medals and from how many races. Because I didn't know. More than 60 races she has run. New York City Marathon, a couple of half marathons, half marathons, 13 miles. A couple of half marathons around here with, and nicely got a lot of people in our church running. So watch out if she come after you to be running. You be running. So this is the context. And so Paul, you use that a lot, doesn't he? Remember, just before the end in 2 Timothy. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. And so there's this matter of pressing on. So are you pressing on or just sitting around? Think of Paul. A good way for Bible study for your own self, just think of, get a Bible person and write down everything you know about them. He's evangelist, church planter, Bible teacher, apologist. I love it back here in in Athens when he came. He's waiting and for the others to join him. And it says back here, he says, I waited for them in Athens, and his spirit was provoked when he saw that the city was given over to idols. And therefore, he reasoned in synagogue. And then it says the certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, he encountered them and said, they said, what does this babbler have to say? This is the world. This is why social media is so hot. Everybody wants to give their opinion about something. Everybody wants to hear something. And this is here, right here. Let me find it. For all the Athenians and foreigners who were there, listen, spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing. Isn't that how it is today? Somebody wants to hear some, tell. Are you captured by the news? You got to look on your phone. Don't let it get you. It'll get you. Be captivated by Jesus. And so he's an evangelist. He could debate with the philosophers. He's a Bible author. All right, now here's your help. You have to help me today. We got Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, the power of salvation unto the Jew first, but also to the Gentiles. You got Romans. What's next after Romans? Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Give me a verse from 1 Corinthians, just even if you know a couple words. There's a lot of them there. Okay, there you go. You got the gospel there in the 15th. The 13th is good. Faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is what? Love. I was thinking about, you know, you got your natural, your spiritual, your carnal, right? Remember in the beginning? You got the beautiful marriage chapter in the 7th chapter. And so you got 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're not as hot on as we are in 1 Corinthians. We don't preach much from that. But 2 Corinthians, if any man is in Christ, he's what? A new creature, new creation. I love that. I was thinking coming over on the car in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him. That's how God sees us. So you got Romans, Corinthians, Galatians. Got anything from Galatians? You got your fruit of the Spirit. You got your walking in the flesh and spirit, the battle. And so Galatians, you got your Ephesians. Somebody knows something from Ephesians? All right. Armor, the armor. My verse, the pastor, I came to church. I was raised up in the Catholic Church, went faithfully, didn't know nothing else, didn't know anything else. And went in the pastor, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift. That did it right there. That put it together. All right? Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, lots of Philippians. It's a chorus. He who began a good work in you will perform it or perfect it. Well, that's the verse in 1 and 6. We know that. We know that at 4, 8. I love 8 with the mind. Get your mind straightened out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? My God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory in Christ. Wonderful things. Colossians. All right, anybody know anything about Colossians? In him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. Isn't that good? Colossians. Colossians. Set your mind on things where? Above, not on things that are on the earth. I love that. I want my mind. I would say this. Looking at this group, and I've been doing it since we've become, I look, You just do it if you're a preacher. You look the people over. I mean, I studied this microphone, this pulpit. I even was up here seeing how I was going to feel behind here. I got my water bottle under here. You got to do that. That's part of public speaking. But listen, I don't think many of you have too many troubles in the physical expression of sin. But I think we have a lot of trouble in sin in our minds. That's the battlefield. And so my mind needs to be focused on things above the mind. And so he says, Colossians, Dr. Adrian Rogers years ago from the great church in Mississippi called the General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Is that good? General Electric Power Company. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I love 1st Thessalonians. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. And then we'll be caught up forever to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Rapture 4, chapter 4. 2 Thessalonians, study that, chapter 2. You got your Antichrist, your man of sin, right there in the Antichrist. Titus, three passages, especially for pastors. One and two, Timothy and Titus. From childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, able to make you wise. And then you have your verse for inspiration, Titus, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's Titus. All I'm saying is, Paul wrote a lot of Bible, didn't he? He wrote a lot of Bible. That's a lot of Bible. And the point I'm making is this: he didn't count that as anything. He said, I need to press on. He was a prisoner for Christ at this writing. He had been saved for some 30 years. And God had said, I'm going to show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And he records that. And then, listen here, back in our text. I have not attained, I'm not complete. I press on. That I can lay hold of that for which Jesus has laid hold of me. If you have a King James Version, and I like the word better, it says apprehended. Well, I've never been apprehended. That's a word. Apprehended by the police, that's what he says. But he was apprehended. One day, and I can't explain it, and I know it happened. And it happened to most of you. I hope it happened to all of you. Jesus apprehended you. I know Jesus apprehended me. If I didn't know anything about the Bible or anything, I know Jesus apprehended me. Because if I try to walk away from it, I can't. You see, I can't. I wouldn't be here. I don't know where. I'd probably be dead if Jesus didn't apprehend me. Did Jesus get a hold of you? Paul was totally going in the opposite direction, wasn't he, on that Damascus road. Three times he writes about it. And he said that there was a light, a voice. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you? I am who? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus got a hold of me. Did Jesus get a hold of you? If Jesus gets a hold of you, he won't let go. We try to let go of him, but he won't let go. Because we're in his hand. And so Jesus got a hold of Paul. When? Where? How? All of that. How old were you when Jesus got? I was 17. How old were you when Jesus got a hold of you? Shout out.
Five.
All right. 29. What else? 41, all right, what else? Jesus, yeah. Because you may not even have to know exactly the thing, but most of us do. I was just sitting in a chair in a church, 17-year-old, scared to death Because in the Catholic Church, they tell me never go into a church like this. They still tell kids that. And so Jesus got a hold of him, and Jesus got a hold of you. That's why you're here today. And that's the way it is. I was thinking about as I was getting dressed this morning. We think so much about, you know, don't talk. What I could talk you into, and I'm pretty persuasive, if I want to be, what I could talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of. But when Jesus gets a hold of you, that'll be real. You'll stay with it, all right? And so, listen, press on. All right, Paul, what you got to do in sermons, tell people how to do it. We're good at telling you what to do, but not how to do it, right? And how? So he tells us here. Realization, number one, realization, I have not arrived. I have not. The trouble I've had in churches with people over the years, and every church has trouble with people, except this one, I'm sure. Every church has trouble with people, has always been with people that thought they have arrived, but they have not arrived. And so he says, I have not arrived, and you, I'm going to tell you, because all I do is come here. It's so good. Is none of us have arrived, but I want to be what Jesus wants me to be, and that's my relationship. Your relationship to Jesus Christ is the primary relationship in your life, because everything else flows down out of that. It comes out of that. Your service, your relationships, your work, your vocation, everything else will flow down out of that. All of your life comes out of that relationship to Jesus Christ. And to where it is will be a good gauge for the other things in your life. All relationships. So he says, so he's talking about it. He says, in one thing I do, I have not apprehended, but one forgetting, one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind. Well, let's think about that, single-mindedness. Remember Martha and Mary? There was a big debate. I never could understand it and never get involved with debates. I just want to stay with my Bible like that. But there was, which is better, Martha or Mary? You remember that? And books were written, things like that. Listen. Listen what he says. Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. So Mary had it over Martha there, according to Jesus. Why? She sat at Jesus' feet. You cannot do anything if you're not rightly related to Christ. One thing I do, to the rich young ruler, Jesus said, one thing you lack, sell everything you have. Oh, I'm not going to do that. Sell every member. He said, what should I do to inherit eternal life? All right. And then one of my favorite verses in the 9th chapter of John, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. That's good, isn't it? We don't have to know everything. We have to know Jesus. And then the psalmist David writes this: one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire at his temple. Single-mindedness, following Christ, pursuing Christ requires single-mindedness. It isn't going to live in a cave someplace, because none of us is going to do that. I mean, that's not going to work for me, all right? But having my mind set on the things of God and on Jesus Christ, everything else flows from that. Then in verse 13, he says, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. In the rearview mirror, as you go, in the rearview mirror, things It even says on your mirrors, things in this mirror may not be as they appear to be. You see it on your car. Don't do that. Look, don't try to read that when you're driving. Past victories, we can't live on them. Past defeats, we can't get stuck in them. How many people? I'm never coming back to church. God didn't do what? If there's a God, why? And these are people that you never would think would say that. Your past hurts. Everybody here has a bucket of hurts. Everybody. Your past hurts. And your pains. And your traumas. We all have traumas. Trauma is a big thing today in Christian counseling and the world. Trauma. Let's trace the trauma back. This. All right. But God says forgetting those things and questions. You listen. You can answer the question how it happened. You can ask the question why it happened. You can ask the question where it happened. You will never maybe answer the question why. Remember Job's three friends? I think the best thing he'd do was just sat there and was quiet. Then he started on the why. If you find out why is it in your... You know, it's a big one for Christian parents and grandparents. Why is my boy like that? Why is my grandchildren like that? There wasn't raised up like that. Why is not a question we'll get answers to here. I think when I stand in Jesus' presence, I won't even have to ask. Because that which you don't know, everything will be known which you don't know. It'll be all right. I mean, I don't want to spend eternity finding out why this was, why that, why that. And then, most of us take pills. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but most of us take a bunch of pills in the morning and a bunch of pills at night. Am I right? You know, sure, I don't even know what they do. You know, and now being on, you know, the Medicare, as long as I'm not paying for them, I'll take them. You know, I'll take it, sure. That's how I was raised up. If something was free, my father said, "You go get it." That's how we're poor people and from the city. So all right, that's how I am. All right, so, but there's a tonic that God has for each of us, and Jesus, we're going to come here and remember it. Jesus paid for it by His blood. You have received it, you must extend it. It's called forgiveness. You have to forgive that which is burdening, hurting, coming up on your heart this morning. Now, it's when you study on that, it's not just one time. All right, I forgive that. It'll come up again. Then you got to take the medicine again. It'll come up again. It's not just going to go away. Over time, things may fade, but in reality, the forgiveness needs to be there. And so God's cure for a lot of our troubles is just forgiveness and putting the past in a rearview mirror. And so then he says here, as we come down to finish this up, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, pressing on to the things which are ahead. The Hebrew writer writes it, looking unto Jesus, what? The author and perfecter of our faith. That's what he's talking about. And then, I love this. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When you run a race, my wife has a whole wall of medals and such, and I'm proud of her. She wouldn't care about that, but I'm proud of her. But because you would not get a medal if you did not finish, you will not. And she would run 5,000 people running through Central Park. And here comes little Sandy coming up. Younger people, you know, should be, can't make it, can't make it, can't make it. And The prize God has for you is you finished. You made it. That's the prize. And it's in heaven. Looking unto Jesus, and I'm waiting here, he says, for the upward call of God. Now think about it. You know, the upward call. I'm 70 years old, and one of the reasons I want to come closer to my family, well, we haven't been around them a long time. On top of that, you know, I got to be nearer to the upward call today than I was 20 years ago, right? So the upward call. Some of you are too. The upward call. I mean, we'd like to be raptured all up out of the church today. Wouldn't that be great? Boy, that would be, hey, we're all. But more likely, one by one, your seat may be empty. The upward call. But look, it's an upward call. Isn't that good? We're going to go to be with. Remember what David said when the baby died? It's a sad scripture. He can't come to me. I can go to be with him. That's the way to look at when somebody dies. They're in the better spot, the upward call. Well, what about you today? If you take that hymn book, 399, and I asked it, the men said, you know it. I have decided to follow Jesus. But to get you started, just take that. I want to give you an opportunity this morning to commit, to make a stand for Jesus. And let's sing together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Now, before we sing that last line, you might just want to stand where you are today and say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to press on in 2023. I'm going to press on. I've come this far, and I'm going to press on. It's good to make a public declaration to the Lord. Will you stand with me in 2023? Let's sing. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have, we know that you, once you get a hold of us, we belong to you for time and eternity. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in our lives to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And now, this morning, on this beautiful Lord's Day morning, and with your people, we want to commit and commend ourselves to pursuing the upward call and the prize, which is ours in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated.